Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Hello, everyone. Today, this is Phil Yeager, and welcome to my podcast called CPA Review and More. My guest today is a very interesting gentleman, Ilya. What's your last? Pronounce your last name for me, because
Ilya Radzinski.
Okay, and he's going to be changing that name to help me. he's actually a chartered financial analyst, and he's co-founder of a company called TaxDome. Jack, let's talk about it now. What is TaxDome?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for being on.
So what is TaxDome? And the reason why we're even speaking today is because I think that there's two parts to becoming having a successful career. And that's what we want to talk about today. So what you cover is the actual knowledge aspect. So you teach people how to take the CPA and how to have product knowledge in whatever industry that they go into. So for in your case, the CPA. Now, what I deal with is actually the other part of it, which is the running of the business. So for many people that are accountants and other tax professionals, they open up their own businesses. And that's what many accountants in this country are, that they're all small businesses. And what we do is we help them run their business. So having a successful practice, you have to obviously know how to prepare tax returns, but you also have to be able to manage communications with your client. If you get bigger and hopefully hire staff, you have to be able to assign work to them. You have to be able to get paid. And there's all these logistical matters that go into running a business, and that's what TaxDome does. We help a company really go from soup to nuts and be able to really just focus on their craft, which is what you learn here, and have everything else taken care of for them.
And what services do you perform for these accounting firms? And by the way, what's the usual size of the accounting firms that you work with?
Sure. So that's exactly what we're targeting, is small businesses. So our target is really 1 to 30, 1 to 40. And that is purely from a marketing perspective, because any firms that is larger already has what we're offering. Right. So every firm that's larger realizes they need organizational processes in place. They need systems. They need all that. They realize that. And that's really where small businesses, and that's what most accountants are, that they're, a lot of them are just entrepreneurs or maybe 2 to 3 people, but small shops, that's where they're kind of left behind. So right now, businesses are facing a technological revolution, and big businesses have the resources to combat change and to adapt quickly. And customers have come to expect a seamless experience in every industry. So if you think about it, every doctor you go to, many of them are now starting to have portals where you can log in and see your test results. You can see messages from your doctor. The same exact thing is happening in accounting. Just this year, over 50% of paid tax returns were done through a portal. And as you can imagine, that graph is going from the bottom left to the upper right, and it's going to keep going in that direction. So small businesses are left at a disadvantage, having to cobble together off-the-shelf solutions which are not integrated. This A, becomes expensive, B, it's cumbersome. So really that's where we come in, is we help to help the small businesses, almost like a David and Goliath story, to have a fighting chance against the larger firms as clients come to expect more and more technology from their firms.
I have a question. If I do tax returns, okay, And you said you handle like a portal type thing.
Yeah.
Right. Give me an example. You know, I come to you and I say, what's your recommendation, how I can be efficient in preparing the returns, get them out to my clients? And you will say, well, why don't you use a portal? All right. And I'll say, what the heck is a portal? Is that where you go to in the afternoon when you have to relieve? Well, anyway, no. What is a portal?
That's a great question. So if you, the best way to think about it is everyone, and even, you know, every one of your younger listeners, chances are they have a bank account. Now, I can guarantee you that not a single one of them calls their banker to find out how much money they have in their account. They go to their Bank of America, their Chase.com, their Wells Fargo, wherever they go, they log in with their username, and then they are able to see their secure documents. They're able to see any messages. Same thing with the credit card. You're able to see, you know, your statements for the month. You're able to see how much money you have and so forth. That's what a portal is that we allow a mom and pop shop or anywhere, a larger firm, it doesn't really matter, but the ability to have a custom branded, customer facing website and a mobile app where your end clients can log in. They can see the documents that you've prepared for them. They can see invoices. They can pay your bills right from their phones or from their desktop. They can see any questions that you have for them. And it's really, that's how interaction goes. Whereas if you think about it, if you have five clients, you can manage that over email. But this allows you to scale. Accountants waste a lot of time, every industry, but just accountants, because this is what we're talking about. People waste a lot of time on administrative work, right? You go to school and you spend countless hours studying for the exam, and you take your CPA exam, not because you want to be an administrator, not because you want to be answering phone calls and someone saying, hey, resend me this file. That's the idea here, is that once you place, if you share a document with your client, they never have to ask you for it again. They just log into your portal and they're able to access their return last year. Oh, where's my W-2? Where's my 1099? They can see all their documents in there. So the same way, if you think about it, you probably have a Dropbox or a Google Drive, or you manage your own documents. This allows you to have a professional customer-facing Google Drive for them where they can see their documents, essentially.
Okay, so it is now 2000. We'll be doing 2019 tax returns. Mm-hmm. And, all right, it's time to get together with a client, all right? All right, now I'm going to do their individual return. So do I, first of all, say to them, all right, let's get together and go over the information? Or is there another way that I do it now?
So there's several ways of doing that. And that really depends on how electronic your firm is. But it's really going in the same direction. So many firms, it's exactly what you said. You need to get information from the client. So how can you do that in the most efficient way possible? Some people are brick and mortar, where you schedule a time, your customer comes into your office, you have an interview with them there, and so forth. That's one thing. However, more and more paperless accounting is coming into play, where the client doesn't want to take a time out of their day to go to your office. Chances are you want to be able to be more optimal and not sit there in 30-minute increments with each client. How can you do that more efficiently? So you can do that through an organizer. So that's one of the things that we offer, where you can create customizable organizer for yourself. And let's say you have specific questions that you want to ask for a business client and for a personal client. You can create different organizers, and that your client is completing the relevant information for them, for you. Now, people have been doing this in this industry forever, right? We're not creating the idea of an organizer. But what it used to be is you just had a paper, you know, piece of paper that somebody would complete, and 95% of it doesn't relate to you. And you're completing this, you're checking no, 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 and A, it's still a piece of paper that somebody then has to transcribe into a computer, and it doesn't feel like it's targeted to you. So what we allow, for instance, is you to create a customizable organizer that you can send to a business client would get the business organizer, which can then be also conditional. So if you think of forms you complete, if you're not married, do you really need to be asked about your spouse? If you say, no, I'm not married,
why? Well, I'd be insulted if you didn't ask about my spouse, how she's doing, but yeah, go ahead.
But that's really the idea, is not only taking things that used to be paper and putting them digitally, making it easy to then use that information in future, right? So let's say you wanted to, if you have a stack of papers in your office, A, you're tied to your office. B, you still have to transcribe it into your computer. Whereas here, if your client is able to complete it digitally, complete it on their phone, right from on their train or on their commute, they can upload their documents, they can take their photos right there. It's just a much more seamless experience. And what it does is it allows people, the other thing that, you know, is maybe also not talked about is the idea of outsourcing. And many, many larger firms are all outsourcing a lot of the data entry and smaller work to, you know, perhaps non-CPAs, right? Because most of this work doesn't have to be done by somebody who, you know, somebody with a CPA degree, but can be done by just somebody with accounting knowledge. And then the review is done by, perhaps by a CPA. And this is done by larger firms everywhere. And even to do that, you still need a way to transfer that completed information over to an assistant or to someone else on your team. And that's the other part, that we allow you to have one centralized place where you can manage all the client documents, all the questions that have been asked of the client, all their responses in a clean, organized fashion. But that's really, our goal is to streamline the entire process. So if you take it from the very beginning, number one is you need to interact with the client, get information. You do that. Then let's say you get the information, you can send it off, assign work to your staffer, do it yourself, but manage the workflow. Because the client, often, it's one thing if you can do a return in 10 minutes and it's done. But if you have larger projects or things that take several stages, you need to also always know where is the client in the process. And you have to manage that somehow. So oftentimes people are using spreadsheets, post-its, essentially unorganized systems.
Very disorganized.
And that's one of the things that we allow you to have is a very organized way to see where every person is in the process, as well as automation. So for instance, as soon as somebody goes into what you just mentioned, as soon as the return is done, it goes to the client and you can have that automatically. Then the client can be requested to electronically sign their return right on their phone or right from their desktop without ever coming into your office. Then once they do that, you would get notification that's done and then you can proceed to e-file it. And then theoretically, if you wanted to, once you put them in the e-file pile, you can have an email automatically go out to the client saying your return's been e-filed. Thank you. Talk to us next year. So the entire process can be essentially streamlined. Like what Henry Ford did, create an assembly line, you can do that for each individual process that you want. So because your assembly line for a corporate return might be different than bookkeeping, might be different than personal tax return, and so forth.
Do you ever hear from clients? You know, I spoke to my friend Bob, and you know, his accountant does this. And they say, well, I got a tax dome, and they just send me an organizer, and I fill it out, and then they electronically file for me. The other guy says, well, my accountant, Bill, all right, he actually gets together with me and he gives me advice, you know, tax advice to save me money. It doesn't sound like I'm getting that from TaxDome. It sounds like TaxDome just an order taker, all right? But, you know, my accountant thinks it's important that he talks to me one-on-one for a half hour or an hour during the tax season, all right? So this other guy says, really? You get to meet your accountant and see him? All right. Have you ever had that questioned?
Well, to start off with, I think you're 100% right. But I think it's very important to make a separation. We don't prepare your tax returns. Everything is on the client side. So whereas you were saying one client goes to Bob accountant, we would represent Bob accountant. So
right.
you never actually see...
We're just the
back end. So right. Everything is actually branded to your company. So let's say you were Jaeger accountant, your client will log into jaegeraccounting.com/app the same way that you can log in somewhere.
Right,
so we're nowhere to be seen. Secondly, you're 100% right in the sense of the value add is what the client needs to see. The client needs to feel that they're paying you and that they're paying you for something that makes their life easier. They feel that they're paying you for expert advice. But for you to be able to do that and to be able to actually spend time dealing with them, the more you can automate all of the administrative things, right? It's not about the automation of the actual tax return process, but automating all the administrative tasks that you do to, you know, in your 8-hour day, if 30% of it is spent on administrative tasks, that's time that you can't spend actually talking to your clients. So the more you can eliminate all those menial tasks and have those just done, then that actually frees you up to focus on those value-added services. And that's what, so where I come from is I'm not an accountant, but what we do is we represent a lot of accountants. And in doing so, we hear the business problems that they have. And all of these accounting firms, how do you separate yourself? And that's one of the key things. How do you not price yourself against one another, but how do you make the client feel that they're getting a real true value add, that they feel that they're getting the tax planning and the advice that they need? And to do that, you need time.
Yeah, I do. You know, I do apologize. I was looking at you as the tax accountants, you know, doing the returns, but you're really the consultants to the firms themselves. But even so, all right, let's, instead of you, TaxDome, all right, we have two accountants, all right? and one just does the, you know, order taking, doesn't meet with the client. What do you make recommendations when they should meet with the client, when they don't need to meet with them?
No, we never delve into the actual business process of the client because every firm is different, right? There are many firms that are already set up to be virtual. There are many firms that are trying to become more virtual, and there are many firms that will never be virtual. It just really depends on what your firm is doing and how you want to structure your own business. And that's why that's totally up to the actual practitioner and their, you know, business team if they have one. What we do is we provide the tools to run your business however it is that you want to. So if you never want, I'll give you an example. Let's say your entire client base was retirees that lived off their retirement income, but they're rich retirees that still have to file a return. And these people don't want an app. They don't want to do anything on their phone. They just want to still come into your office and do that. We still provide you a project management tool internally to be able to manage all those things. You still have to manage the actual flow inside your office. You have to manage all that. So it's really just a set of tools and use it however you wish. So more and more people are going to want to be using a portal. And as I said, it's above 50% for the first time this year, and it's only going, it's from the bottom left to the upper right, and it's going to continue to go in that direction. But if you have clients that are, say, elderly, or you don't think that they'd want from this, you don't have to have them use this. You can continue to do everything how you have been doing it. But this allows you tools to manage your practice internally, and then you can kind of use them however you wish. I'll give you an example. Many firms don't want to have, they still want checks, right? Other firms don't want checks, but if you want checks, you can still do that. Other firms want to streamline their operations and want to have their clients pay right on their phone, so forth. It's just a set of tools, and you use it to your practice however it is that you need.
Yeah, we do that with the people we owe now. A lot of them are just direct deposit. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's just going more in that direction. And it's again, it's an opinion. I think that over time, more and more people will tend to be doing things online just because we're seeing that in every industry. But it doesn't change the fact that some people will still want to come in with you. And there's definitely tools for that. So given it, we're actually building out a scheduler. So you can have the same way that I schedule my time with you. You use a separate service called either Calendly or whatnot, where you put your own calendar and someone can book on your site. Well, that's exactly one of the things that we're offering. So that the way to really think about what we do is, if you're running a business, and it doesn't matter whether you're an accountant or you're an architect or you're a lawyer, you still need a lot of tools to run your business. And our mindset and our strategy is that small to medium-sized firms should not have to go to 10 different vendors that are not integrated with one another to accomplish those needs. Now, which needs you need for your specific business, again, depends on your business model and what you would like to do. But you're still going to need some set of tools, and we want to offer that to you in a package where it's easy. You just turn it on, it works, and then you can focus on your actual craft and then focus on how can you add value to your clients, because that's what they'll appreciate. That's what they come to you for.
What gives you the expertise? I mean, you know, you majored in finance, okay? Did you need to major in finance to do what you're doing?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think what you realize is that what you learn in school only sets you on a path, and absolutely has, for most people I know at least, unless you're in a profession that requires many, many years of schooling, let's say a doctor, oftentimes it sets people on a path and then you go elsewhere. So I'm very much in product design and efficiency tools, and that's really what I do, whereas going to school for finance wasn't there. I used to work at a hedge fund, and I realized I had to wear many hats. It was a small hedge fund. It was about 10 to 12 people, and there's more work to go around than that amount of people can handle. And that's the case for many small businesses. So you wonder, you have many people that, even though their job title is X, but you have to do X, Y, and Z. And that's the case for many startups. And you realize that you have to, if you don't build efficiency and you don't learn how to be organized, you'll always be underwater. So that's, I really saw that there was a massive need for tools, and I saw a growing need for this, and it's across all industries. This is not accounting specific. If you look at every single industry, efficiency tools, project management tools, these are a growing business, and there's many unicorns, so to speak, that offer this, and we're just offering the same thing to accountants.
You know, I think a lot of people think they're entrepreneurs, and they're not, you know, how do you do, I mean, I don't know if you would get involved with this, but let me ask you. I'm coming to you and saying, Ilya, you think, I mean, I'm just coming out of school. Now, I know this is not what you do for a living, but, you know, I come to you as a student, maybe you spoke at a group or something, and I'll say to you, Ilya, how do I know if I would be a good entrepreneur or not? Okay? All right? What would you say to them?
Firstly, I actually completely agree with you that absolutely not everyone should be an entrepreneur. There's different personality types, different people. It's just there's different things for different folks. And by no means does being good at school or bad at school mean that you'll succeed or you won't succeed, right? It's not a one-to-one correlation whatsoever. The other thing is I would never suggest someone to become an entrepreneur. I think you need to kind of have feeling inside of it. The other part I would say is that to do so, you need to see whether you really have, I'll give you an example. When you work for a company, and I would never recommend someone to just do it out of school. I'd like you should always work for somebody first, just because I think that it helps you build work ethic. For instance, I came out of school, I don't think until I was after that job at a hedge fund did I think I really built a super strong work ethic. And you do that when you're kind of thrown into the fire a little bit. And if you're an entrepreneur, you get thrown into the fire real quick. So if you work for a company, if you're the type of person that when there's a problem, you throw your hat in the ring and you tackle it, and there might not be a solution, because oftentimes there's not a solution. Somebody just needs to figure it out. If you're the kind of person that figures it out and always solves problems, you're more likely to be the kind of person that will succeed, because there's not always an answer key. And you sometimes have to try to figure it out and try creative methods to get there. That's one. Number two is, you really have to be willing to get your hands dirty. And that doesn't mean you need to do, and I'm not implying legal aspects. I just mean that you, if your job is X and to get something done, you might need to, you know, do something below your pay grade. If you're not willing to do that, I think you might struggle as an entrepreneur, because as I said, you wind up dealing with a lot of very basic things that there's just no one to do them.
You can't go out and hire people for every little thing.
Exactly.
Initially. All right.
Exactly. Exactly. And the other thing is I'd really recommend to get a mentor. I think that's one thing that I felt was actually really missing. So when I graduated from school, I went to Binghamton University, which, and the management program there is very heavily skewed towards accounting. So there's that's where many graduates go to the Big Four, and it's a huge feeder program for them. Now, and maybe my memory is failing me, but I don't really recall many people visiting the school that were that ran small businesses in personal accounting. And the reason they didn't do that, because most people that visit the school, they visit to recruit.
Right.
So the people that come to recruit, they're all getting paid to go there by their companies because the companies want to hire more people. So the people you have speaking to you at schools, the students potentially would be only mostly people from the big accounting companies and working in corporate, and not the people that I'm talking about and the people that I deal with on a very frequent basis, which are the actual business owners. Now, many people leave public accounting and decide to open their own, maybe open their own practice or whatnot. But I think that those people don't have as much of a presence on campus simply because they're not recruiting as often as the big firms do. So the younger people don't have as much insight into what it's like in their lives as they do, you know, say a partner at a Big Four or a manager at a Big Four. So I think they have a much better idea of what that's like than what the life is really like of an accountant and what makes them successful. So if that is something that you are interested in, I would really recommend to go seek one out. And I'm sure they would love, because they all need help, because as I said, there's not enough hands out there, and intern for one. Offer them help during tax season. See if this is something that actually interests you. And in doing so, my recommendation as an entrepreneur would be always go above and beyond what you're there to do. Always try to see where you can help. Always try to ask questions. Don't just be someone that fulfills menial tasks, because you'll do it, but you're not going to get as much out of it as you will if you're there really trying to learn and see if this is something that works for you at a longer term.
At Binghamton, did you have a mentor there, or how did you eventually find a mentor?
I had many mentors, and that were all But I pursued the finance route. So in finance, there's what's called, in many of the big banks, let's say, there's what's called target schools and non-target schools. So, and it's, I'm sure it's the same thing for accounting programs. They just have different schools. So Binghamton is a huge target program for the big four, a target school rather. Whereas if, let's say, for Goldman Sachs or for other banks that you were looking for, it's not a target school. They have other schools that they target more so. So getting into one of those is much harder because, as I said, it's actually the same exact thing as I'm describing for accountants and personal tax, for small business accountants, that you don't have as much insight into it. So I actually reached out to a lot of alumni at different banks and that were through connections and other networking opportunities, and reached out and went to the city all the time from Binghamton's in upstate New York and met with them, and they were super helpful in getting me. And if some of them are listening on here, thank you guys very much. You were super helpful. They were really instrumental in helping me understand what it's really like in their field, what they look for, and how to succeed as an intern, how to succeed as a young professional, and really helped put me on track. And it got me I had a sales and trading internship at UBS, and then it turned into a full-time job, and then I went to work for a hedge fund. But if I didn't have those mentors actually in industry, in the jobs that I was looking for, I would have never been set on that path in the first place. I think that's critical for any person.
But what, you know what I just heard from you? I just heard that you went out to seek these things. You didn't just sit back and wait for it to happen. All right? And that's so important. You want to be an entrepreneur? You got to show a little, be aggressive. And one of the things that Ilya did here is he went out of his Binghamton area, all right, and he sought out mentors. Am I correct?
Yep, 100%.
How many people do that though?
And the interesting thing is that never stops. So I just had dinner with my friend yesterday, and this is actually a pretty interesting story, also relevant how your college and maybe your first years out of school have little relevance to what you do later in life. So he also graduated from Binghamton. He worked in private banking at Morgan Stanley and was actually doing super well there for, I think 6 or 7 years, and was on a management track there where he knew that he was going to have a serious role there. But he saw a great opportunity in e-commerce, and he started selling a lot of products and kind of delving into it on Amazon and building his own sites and building brands. And he left that job, and for the last 3 or 4 years, he's just been running e-commerce brands and really, really growing that business. But the reason I mentioned him now is we had dinner yesterday, and he was telling me how he's actually seeking out mentors because he's in his mid-30s, and he has a very successful career, and he's still reaching out to people who are far more successful in his e-commerce field and seeing what else he could be learning, what he could be doing, and really, really reaching out to others for help. And you'd be surprised, people are extremely receptive to it. I think if you come to people saying, get me a job or do this for me, that's one thing. But if you come for advice and just want to pick people's brains, they'll be definitely willing to come meet you halfway. And if they can't help you, chances are they might refer you to somebody else that can. And he was just telling me how he's got a really potential new business partner that he met through one of these phone calls where he asked for somebody to get put in touch with, and now that's going to be a new business partner for him. So this mindset and this viewpoint doesn't just stop.
Is that a form of networking? You'd call that networking?
I guess so. I mean, I guess it's networking. Yeah. I mean, it is networking, right? It's building out your network. But I think it's very important that when you do so, you don't ask for a job, and you come ready to learn and make it interesting for the other person, and just be willing to have a conversation. People are much more willing than you think.
How much competition do you have in your type of business?
Well, there's quite a bit. There's quite a bit because there's a lot of people that are, there's competition in two ways. So number one is the single tool vendors. So as mentioned, as Zoom is a tool, you also have a company.
No, but I'm talking about what you do at TaxDome, okay?
Right.
All right, your service. Are there similar companies that do the same exact thing?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There are, and the competition comes in two ways. Number one is you have, actually three ways. Number one is you have the actual tax companies themselves. So say, if you're actually preparing tax returns, you use the, you know, a professional program to help you do it. And some of those programs have their own add-ons that they throw in to help you run your business. But those tend to be less of a, you know, they're just a convenient tool, but they offer you less functionality. Then there are single project tools. So say a project management software, but you still have, that doesn't speak with your document management, which you also have a separate tool for. So you also have another tool to get paid. So those are all single tool competitors. And then there are several competitors which are on the integrated aspect where they offer multiple tools such as we do to run your practice. Now there's different approaches to it. And that's kind of where we differ. So for instance, we are definitely a cloud first approach, whereas some other ones are, as you mentioned, focused on the in-office. So they have an actual, you know, check-in counter, things like that. Whereas we are definitely cloud first and think that that's where the industry and communication with clients in general is going. That if your client can choose to not come into the office versus coming into the office, many, many people will choose not to. And how can you make life, how can you make that as seamless as possible? And then the other one is really your focus. So we focus on the actual running of the practice and making life as easy as possible for all the stakeholders involved. So you, meaning let's say you are the CPA, how can you quickly onboard your staff? If you if you hire, say, temporary staff, how quickly can they come into your process so they're not spending, you know, 3 months just learning your business processes, but they can actually hit the ground running? And how quickly can your clients use your program where it's an actual value add and they don't feel that they're just doing something, you know, for your process? So that's really where we come in, is the actual how easy the tool is to use, how quickly you can learn it, and the user interface. If you think about it, no one taught you to use Netflix, right? You just turned it on. But there are many,
six month course
with your grandchild probably, right? But there are other tools out there that charge you, they charge you fees to learn how to use the product, where we believe that that's a fundamental flaw. We believe a product should be either super easy to use, or you should be have as much free help as you need to learn to use it, because we want you to use it.
If you want to go into a business and there's competition, okay, don't make the excuse, well, there's too much competition, I can't make it. Actually, a lot of competition is good. It means there's a need for that service. Okay. Now, if you want to go into a business and you find there's three or four other people doing that same thing, and you say, oh, I'm so afraid, you're not an entrepreneur. Okay. All right. You got to be willing to take chances. That's the whole thing. Hey, chances are it's probably a good idea to do it. But, you know, I started a CPA review school and I didn't look at the competition. You know what I said? There's got to be something better than the courses I was taking. That's my approach. All right.
And well, I think that, you know, I heard someone really smart once tell me something, and this was more about relationships, and perhaps this is quite, it was more negative in nature, but human beings are like monkeys in that we don't, you don't fully jump off the tree you're on until you've got a grasp of the next branch.
Right. Exactly.
So I think that that's, you know, with what you're talking about in terms of business is before you shouldn't just jump into onto a business unless you really see an opportunity there and you've kind of put your, you know, dipped your toes into the water. And to do so, you really need to understand the competitive landscape of what you're talking about, and that you don't necessarily have to be first. I don't think that the first mover, there's obviously a first mover advantage, but it doesn't mean that you're going to capture the market. And if the first mover doesn't have a complete monopoly, you know, Facebook wasn't first. And I don't know if your listeners might not even be old enough to remember, there was other social networks before it.
What social networks?
Oh, there was tons. There was there was Friendster. So MySpace was a huge one. And MySpace, nobody even knows what that is anymore. And it was a massive, massive company. And then Facebook came later. And so it's not, and similar examples are for other things, right? So we have WhatsApp that was sold for God knows how many billions of dollars, also to Facebook, but instant messaging is not new. There was a company called ICQ, there was AOL. I mean, there was tons and tons of other options before. So it's not necessarily just about being first, but it's about understanding the competitive landscape. And I think no matter what you go into, it's important to do that. So if you want to, let's say you wanted to become an accountant, you should understand the competitive landscape of other accountants. You know, where are you going to get clients? How are you going to differentiate yourself from the other accountants in your area? What can you do that's different? How will you build your client base? If you're starting from scratch, you don't have any bad habits that you need to kick, so to speak, that don't work in today's day and age, right? I mean, it's fairly cliched, but it's a very famous quote from Wayne Gretzky, that you have to skate where the puck is going. And I think that you have to, and that's why I stress the technology aspect of it, because I don't think there's anyone out there that's denying that technology is really getting hold of every industry. And I think if you can recognize that, and if you can leverage that to your advantage, that's how, that'll definitely help you stay afloat in 3 to 5 and 7 years, when that number that I said was 50%, when that's going to be 90%, when it's not a, oh, do you have one of these, but why don't you don't have a mobile app, right? So things more and more technology is going in that direction. It's just a question of how early you can leverage that.
How would you do a commercial for your company? All right, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Sure. So that's in actually as a segue from what we were just talking about before of thinking differently and skating to where the puck is going. Many software companies out here, or out in the industry in general, make it really difficult for you to find out about the software. You don't know the pricing. You have to contact a salesperson to get a demo. You also have to go through hoops. And we want to make that barrier as easy as possible. So every single day we have a 2 p.m. Eastern demo, and it's a live demo that you don't even have to register for our system. You just sign up for the demo and you can watch and listen in. You can ask questions, because once you see the system, and if you let's turn on the screen sharing, I think you have to on your end. I'll show you in a second here. But once people come on there, then they really get to see exactly what we're talking about. Because it's one thing it's one thing imagining it and hearing it, and it's another when you have somebody walk you through it, and then you're able to ask questions of, oh, how can I apply this to my actual business? So that's what we do, is we have a demo every single day with live Q&A.
All right. Well, Ilya, I'll tell you something. You're a nice guy. If I were there in New York, I would hang with you. I really would, okay? All right? And you're a decent guy. I like you. And I liked you the first time. I really did. Ilya, I'm going to wish you the best of luck. Thank you very much for doing this podcast. I can't thank you enough. Once again, thank you, everyone, for listening to CPA Review and More. This is Phil Yeager. All right. And once again, be kind to other people. That's extremely important. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.